One day, around the beginning of May, Llewellyn ran into a neighbor, Captain James Mayo. The brethren had tried, but failed, to recruit Mayo's brother William. Mayo accused him of being an enemy of the people, and threatened to name him to the local Committee of Safety as a Tory. Llewellyn asked Peter Tyler and Rawlins to waylay Mayo and kill him. Rawlins claimed he refused to help, but Tyler waited by a road Mayo often took. However, Mayo did not appear. Llewellyn turned into a rabid loyalist within weeks. The threat of arrest was likely one cause, but he also had family reasons to support Britain. He was a cousin of Lieutenant General Lord Charles Cornwallis, a British commander who had already raided North Carolina once. Regardless, Llewellyn's hatred of the rebellion became well known. He was quoted as saying the rebels were the ragtag and bobtail of humanity, and that Governor Richard Caswell was an infidel and didn't believe in the Holy Trinity. This referred to the Christian concept of divinity having three aspects: God, the Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Rawlins said that as the conspiracy gained numbers, Llewellyn listed off a group of names whom, if they could destroy, then the country would soon be settled. Among them were Mayo and his brother, Colonel Nathan Mayo, whose land was next to Llewellyn's. Llewellyn also had an idea to take advantage of slave owner fears of an uprising by the people they held captive, a frequent event in early NC history. He recruited a patroller, someone whose job was to stop African Americans and make sure they were either free or had permission to be where they were. The plan was for the patroller to spread rumors of a revolt. This, in turn, would trigger the local militia to search for the freedom seekers, leaving unguarded the army gunpowder supply in Halifax and Governor Caswell, who was scheduled to visit there. The Tories could destroy the former and kill the latter. Look up Mooring Road. At some point, some sources claim, Llewellyn and one or two other men decided they had enough momentum to notify the British commander in North America, Sir Henry Clinton. They rode off toward New York, probably up a dirt road where Mooring Road is today, but they supposedly only got as far as Scotland Neck, then 20 miles away, before turning back. Around June 20, a group met at a gourd patch near Tarborough. One of the conspirators had been caught with the plot's papers. He and another member were in the town jail. The group began planning to free them. Lieutenant Colonel Henry Irwin of the regular Continental Army later wrote Caswell that 30 men attacked the jail. Irwin had been wounded in South Carolina and was convalescing, one source says. However, he and 25 men, perhaps militia soldiers, were easily able to drive the group off. Sadly, he was killed a year later at the Battle of Germantown in Pennsylvania. The shift among the brethren toward violent loyalism led to their downfall, because some recruits began telling what they knew. The slave patroller was among them. As witnesses began naming conspirators, Caswell ordered Major David Barrow to find Brimage on the Tory Brig in Newbern. This was a ship bought by Alexander Telfair, whom Caswell had given permission to leave the state with other Tories. Barrow wrote back that Telfair promised not to allow Brimage on board and sent Lieutenant Shedrick Fulcher with a few men to find Brimage. Tipped off by the justices in Edenton, Brimage fled. He headed for the ocean but was captured by militia. Before Fulcher could get to Ocracoke to take custody, Brimage, a man named Campbell, and one other convinced two boys to row them north to Roanoke Island. Then Brimage offered more money to go farther. According to one of the boys, once landed on a beach, Campbell took out a handkerchief with two pistols in it and revealed himself to be a lieutenant in the British Navy. With a mix of force and extra pay, the fugitives made the brothers push off toward Currituck Inlet, but a storm forced them beyond it. There, as the rain came down, the brothers escaped, one running down the beach and the other taking the boat. They must have met up down the shore. Campbell stole another boat and disappeared. By means unknown, the other two men made it back south, but they were recognized and detained. Militia then transported them to the jail in Edenton, where Brimage was chained to the floor next to the courthouse where he formerly presided. Other plotters were eventually forced to join him there, including Llewellyn. Rawlins fled down the Pamlico River with his family in a small sailboat on July 5. A man downriver thought he might, kept watch, and captured him. Please continue to the audio clip under Trials and Surprising Outcomes.